The Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that a man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil, olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is the gospel lesson. I know you've heard this rant, but you can hear the rant again because it's Thanksgiving. It's about the parades. They sit up in their little booth, and, "Bob, what are you thankful for?" "Well, I'm thankful for friends and family and good food and just the wonderful day we're having."
And is there anybody you would like to thank, Bob? Yes, I'd like to thank my family and friends and all those who have supported me. Well, what do you think, Contarius? Who are you thankful for? And then they go back and forth. Everything they're thankful for. But notice what they never do. To thank to. To be thankful means you got something from somebody, and who are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for my family and friends that we had a good harvest and a good year. You don't want to sit with me during the parades, because I crab until Susan finally looks at me and says, shut up and watch the parade. See, sometimes I feel like these talking heads on this show who have no idea what they're actually doing are an awful lot like the 9 lepers in our gospel lesson. For all 10 of the lepers, life had changed, not only for them, but for their families. And we're also going to hear in this text how Jesus heals both physically and spiritually and turns our lives around dramatically. And it says, it came to pass as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood far off. Well, why do they have to stand far off? Leprosy is a horrible disease. It begins with little white spots on the face that turn into sores. Then they turn brown and very scaly until they're covering much of the face. And then these little white dots in the same process then continues through the entire body. But it's always the face first. Now, it's been enough time after dinner. You can hear this. The sores fill up with pus and then break. Can you imagine the smell? Lepers also had a tendency always to have a swarm of flies around them because the leper's body made perfect ground for laying of eggs. No one could stand the smell of a leper. First, the eyebrows fell out, and then the hair turned white. So if you got white hair, don't worry, you're still fine if you got a nose. Because the nose was the next thing that fell off. So the face is totally disfigured. And then it would be the fingers, and then the toes, and then death in about 9 years. Now that's kind of a gruesome disease and a gruesome ending. But sin is the same type of a gruesome disease. It eats away at us and totally destroys us. Leviticus 13 is called the Law of the Leopard. They were banished from their village to begin with, which meant totally separated from family, friends, community, and whether that would be the synagogue or the temple. So if a spouse got it or a child got it, which was possible, they were immediately banished. Now, you could see them again because it was sort of your responsibility to bring them food and clothing on a regular basis. And would anybody actually want to watch a loved one go through that? Excuse me. They're literally, in a sense, lepers are the living dead itself. They're also told that they had to completely cover themselves so they wouldn't contaminate anyone around them and had to yell when anybody got near them, unclean, unclean. But somehow they heard about Jesus. Now, how did these exiles hear about Jesus? The gospel does not tell us how. I sort of suspect the family member who brought food and clothing said, there's this teacher from Nazareth. I wish you can meet him. They had heard of Jesus. Now, they couldn't come within 50 feet of Jesus. If it was windy, the law said 200 feet. I guess on a day like this, it would be 20 miles. All right? But they had heard of Jesus, and they had heard of the miracles, and they needed a miracle because there was no cure for leprosy once it struck. Fallen man, those of us born with original sin, which is every one of us, we need a miracle because sin affects the soul, it affects the body, it affects everyone near us. And sin only gets worse, it doesn't get better. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. So guess what, sinners? You and I too are the living dead. Now, I painted a pretty horrible picture of leprosy. I don't think it's a picture any of you would want to have painted and hang it in your living room. But do you notice how easy it was for Jesus to heal? He just made it happen. You know, if lepers themselves couldn't help themselves, neither can we. And Jesus will physically help us and spiritually help us when we come to Him in repentance and admit we're sinners in need of mercy. Now, was it a miracle that the lepers happened to be in the right place when Jesus happened to be going by? Now, you can argue there's coincidence. I don't believe there is coincidence. I don't know who originally said it, but coincidence is God's way of acting anonymously. So they're both in the right place at the right time. Yes, Jesus sought them like He seeks every sinner. He looks at our heart and knows it needs to be clean, because the inner condition is actually worse than the outer condition, both in leprosy and with sin. All right, it's the inner condition that we need fixed. Question is, do we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and with all of our minds and with all of our souls and our neighbors as ourselves? Do we do that perfectly? Well, I'm going to be so bold as to say to love the Lord with all your God, with your heart, soul, and mind. If that was true, every one of these seats should be full. So I'm going to be jaded for a second and then move on. All right. The epistles or the gospels tell us that He became sin for us to pay that debt that we sinners owe. The lepers were sent to the high priest. Why? Because Leviticus 14 says, if somebody had leprosy and was cleansed, they would go to the high priest and show themselves. We don't know the why or anything else, whether there are diseases that appear like leprosy in the beginning, but aren't, or some were actually healed. We don't know, but it was a very, very rare occasion. But there is a purification ceremony that's listed in Leviticus. And I'm sure the priest that they came to said, I got to look that one up. That's an order of service we don't use too often. But let me go see. And I also think Jesus had a smile on His face when He sent him to the priest. Not just because He healed him, because of course He'd be joyous over that. But I think inwardly, there was a little smile that said, now let the priest explain this one off, how 10 lepers came in and were healed. And when they all say Jesus did it, how are they going to explain that one off? Well, maybe I'm just a little more cynical. But, see, we're not sent to a priest once we are cleansed of our sins because of the death of Christ. But we're not sent to a priest to receive the forgiveness. We stand before Jesus because He says, come unto Me, all you who are heavy laden. He's the high priest who declares us clean. Now, can you imagine the lives of the 10 lepers then afterwards? Back with family, back with community, back in temple. And then they were asked the question, Jacob, who healed you? Imagine being healed of a horrible disease by a man who just said, go and show yourself to the priests. The incredible thankfulness. Wouldn't you be telling everybody? I mean, if I had been healed of that terrible, horrible disease and been rotten away, and suddenly I'm healed and restored, I'd be telling everybody, there's this Jesus of Nazareth who healed. See, that's the same attitude we should have, healed of sin. We should have that same enthusiasm. We have been healed of a terrible disease. It's a message the world needs, that Christ came to die for us. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face, giving thanks, for he was a Samaritan. Only the Samaritan comes back. A Samaritan comes back to a Jew to thank him. And we all know the animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. And notice the healing was done immediately. Go and show yourself to the priests. Now, we don't know exactly at what point of that they were healed, but can you imagine the joy that you know you've been rotting away and suddenly you realize your hands, your face, everything's restored. Life is transformed, not only for the lepers, but for the sinner. Once the sinner knows Christ as their his or her Lord and Savior, they're changed, they're transformed. Now, the other 9, were they grateful? It doesn't say. They didn't come back. Now, in their defense, he did say, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, in their defense, they may have gone halfway back, realized they were healed, and thought, if we go back and thank him, we're not doing what he told us to, so the leprosy will be back. So in their defense, they may have had a legitimate reason. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But it does say the one came back. But all of us should acknowledge and thank Christ that he's freed us. And it also says the leper received what we'll call a new heart. It said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. You know, from that doom and gloom of leprosy, we see Jesus changing lives. Because he's really the only one that is in charge. He's the one that we need to be following today. He's the one that we need to turn to tomorrow and say, thank you for all of this. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.